to Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yes, sir. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We got our guy Luke hanging out in the stead of John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adetula. What we got? What's happening?
My bad.
Okay, I was like, they came in strong. I was like, hey.
Yeah, my bad.
That felt like that was like an announcement or something. I was like, oh, man, something is happening. No, you're good. It threw me off my game. But look, man, what will or won't throw the Texans off their games as they face off against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday? That's what we're asking you to provide. And Texans win because, Texans lose because, you know what the format is. Luke, would you like to go for it first? Would you like me to go first?
You go ahead.
All right, excellent. So when it comes down to it, and I did put this Matt Berkley in here, and I'm going to be completely honest. I wanted to give you my win because, lose because, and I looked down. I was like, I put this clip in here. Why did I put this in here? So, Fig, if you could help me out here, I would like to hear Matt Burke, where he was talking about after, you know, looking at the film, are the Vikings successful? What are they successful with in the run game?
I mean, I would say last week specifically, they got on their edge pretty easily, or I don't say easily, that's probably a poor way to put it, but like, they got the ball onto the edge pretty quickly. You know, so we have to do, you know, we obviously preach that, like setting edges in our perimeter, you know, defense. But they challenge your back end. Like, there's a lot of our corners are going to have to be good tacklers this week. You know, we always talk about our DN setting edges and those sort of things. But they challenge your back end to be just as good. So our safeties and our nickels and our corners even have to be really good at setting edges because their block structure, they can target how they want to target and get the ball on the edge pretty quick. And if you're not showing up quickly there, then it's 5 yards before someone else does show up. You know what I mean? So we want to be firm on our edges and try to keep the ball from getting around our perimeter. So that'll be a big challenge for us this week against the scheme. They do a good job of blocking on the perimeter, get it out on the edge.
Okay. Well, I mean, Texas win because they are able to limit that. Honestly, I had forgotten why I had thrown that in there. That's absolutely one of those. Honestly, the thing that I was thinking about is if the Texans will win if they're able to get the ball to their playmakers in space. I think that that's going to be something that's available. It can also help neutralize some of the pressure that I think that the Vikings are clearly capable of bringing. We've seen this year over year and over time in the NFL is that sometimes, especially when the run game isn't necessarily working, you can neutralize speed by getting the ball out quickly and you can generate a little bit of something that's similar to the run game by, you know, using the short passing game. And I think that that might be something that's available to the Texans here. Get the ball into space. Let these guys, let Tank Dell, let Stephon Diggs, and of course, let Nico Collins utilize the advanced speed that they have to make the Vikings pay in that way. So I think that that will help them. They lose because deep shots, big plays are happening. I think that Justin Jefferson, obviously the big name to think about in that. I know that he's dealing with some hamstring things, but he's still Justin Jefferson. He has the opportunity. And last week you saw him go for a 97-yarder just deep over the top of the Niners, right? We felt like that was addressed after week one. You know, in week two against the Bears, but also, you know, what happens if that was just, hey, this was better, but not entirely fixed, right? You mentioned the idea with Stingley that there were some opportunities that maybe weren't taken advantage of. If you have Sam Darnold, who is not Caleb Williams in ceiling of what he could be, but is better than him when it comes to just where he is right now. If Sam Darnold's able to take advantage of those things and hit you over top, now you're in a different place again, and I think that could be something that is problematic if it is not indeed fixed in the ways that we hope it to be.
By the way, in terms of getting the ball in your playmaker's hands, if you're down to your third-string running back, Cam Akers, keep doing those little either end-arounds or putting Tank Dell in the backfield. You know, get him touches, manufacture touches that way through the running game without Joe Mixon out there as well. For me, it's really simple. I would have two of each, and they're very obvious things. But a lot of times, that's what it comes down to in these matchups. For the Texans, in order to win, two things I point to. Number one is jump out early to a lead and play with a lead. Now, obviously, you have to be ahead to win the game. That's obvious.
What?
Yeah, I know. More breaking news today. But
you score more points than you win.
Yeah. Okay. The Trent Dilfer, what Trent Dilfer say in ESPN? You have to score more points to win? Something like that. Anyways.
That's technically correct.
Yeah. It's a shame he's not with that network anymore.
Coaching UAB football.
That's true. But for the Texans, it's specifically the Vikings, making the Vikings play from behind. You know, the Giants scored first in week one, but it was on a fumble. They kicked the field goal. The Vikings came down next possession, got a touchdown, led the rest of the game. They were comfortable. Last week, they led the entire game against the Niners. If you watch that game, the Vikings were always in control.
Yeah.
And there was never a case watching that of like, oh, they're going to lose this game. Like, they were always in control. So they haven't had to play from behind. Sam Darnold is sixth in the league in passer rating this year. However, that drops to 13th when you remove play action. And if you're trailing, you might not be able to use play action as much because you don't have to overemphasize the run game.
Right.
And then when he's under pressure, his passer rating dips to 25th in the league. Again, small sample size. But when he's under pressure, he's not nearly as effective. How do you get him under pressure? Obviously, you get a lead, you pin your ears back, you go after the quarterback. And we haven't seen Darnold have to lead the Vikings back. Everything has been very simple for him, very easy. Playing with the lead, playing off the run game, open receivers. What happens when he deals with some pressure? So real simple for the Texans, jump out to a score first, play from ahead. And then you also take some of the crowd out in that tough environment.
Yeah.
That helps. And then the number two thing real quick, for me, the second thing, the craziest stat is under Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings are 19-0 when they don't lose the turnover battle. 19-0 when they do not lose the turnover battle. When they do lose the turnover battle, I think it's like 3-14. So just win the turnover battle. Don't turn it over more than the Vikings. The Vikings had two turnovers in week one, two turnovers in week two. Sam Darnold has an interception in each of those games. He'll give you your chances.
Right.
Take advantage, be opportunistic, and take care of the football, which Stroud typically does. But Cam Akers, hold that football, you know, in the red zone.
Yeah.
If you win the turnover battle, that's always been the key to beat the Vikings. If the Vikings don't lose the turnover battle, they have never lost in 3 years under Kevin O'Connell.
Incredible. I love the stats that you break down there. 713, you're kind of wild, and they said break Justin Jefferson's ankles. I hope you mean in like a basketball sense, like, right. Oh, you know, dice him up. I don't know about the other way. I understand what you're saying. I don't know if it win all costs goes to that level. I don't know if that's the way that we should go. But some other folks that are getting in from 832, they say the Texans will win because of their offense and ability to burn the secondary. Their challenges will be how are they able to handle Minnesota's receivers and passing game. Secondary is going to have to be on their A game to go 3-0. And I think that that's absolutely the case. You heard Matt Burke talk about that, not just in the passing game, but also in the running game, right? I did not think of the running game as being like a huge factor in that game versus San Francisco, but they did put up 146 as a team, right? Like that matters, right? On 6.1 yards per carry. So like, you got to make sure that you keep that in tow somewhat as well. And I imagine, as you mentioned, that is game script dependent somewhat, right? If they're running the ball in order to kind of keep the ball away from you, in order to kind of, you know, drain the clock, that's going to be very problematic. And we've also talked about after week one with this team, right? You see the ways in which it can be demoralizing for a defense to have a team run it over and over and over again. Don't allow them to get into that place, especially by not allowing them to get on the outside, as Matt Burke was alluding to. Some other things that come up. Texans win because they clean up penalties and issues offensively, allowing them to sustain drives. Man, how confident are you that the penalties can be cleaned up? Because some of the dudes that we're talking about in the likes of Tunsil and such, it seems like we've already given it as a given that those penalties will pop up.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact to one game. You know, the penalties were brutal Sunday night. It's an emotional game. Sunday night football, home opener, Caleb Williams on the other side. But it is a concern. I mean, they were top five in penalties last year. Already this year, they're towards the top of the list 2 weeks in. That was one of my reasons why the Texans will lose, is not handling those emotions. Because I think some of it is pre-snap stuff, silly things. You know, look, the Niners had three of those in the first quarter in Minnesota last week. It's going to be a problem for the Texans, for every team. That's a tough stadium to go in and play. It is loud.
Yeah.
So you got to handle that early on in that first quarter, handle that crowd, and that's why if you take a lead, you could take them out of it. But that is a concern, specifically for this week, is the emotions of Diggs returning. Like, don't let that become too big of a thing. Just go out there and play ball. The emotions of whatever, a 2-0 against a 2-0 matchup. You're on the road, tough game. Just don't commit stupid penalties like we saw some, you know, Sunday night in a big spot at home, Sunday night football, whole nation watching. Keep those emotions in check. Use them as a positive to get out with a victory.
Yeah, especially because with penalties, right, we talked about this with the Bears game. That was what allowed the Bears to stay with you, right? I keep coming back to the Kalen Bullock play in the secondary where, you know, he has an opportunity to really play the football if he wants to. Plays through the body, and ultimately that gives them a big first down and opportunity to get up the field, and then they're at the 6-yard line, and that leads to the one touchdown that they're able to get, right? And the Bears aren't a team that is so good as to make you pay for that. The Vikings are much better situated to make you pay for those things. So don't beat yourself in a game that is going to be a level of a challenge for you. Someone else comes in from the 979 on the text line. Texans win because three turnovers, but Laremy Tunsil has two false start penalties. Do we still win? Yeah, man, I think if you get three turnovers, you've taken the ball away from enough from this Vikings offense that you probably are in a good enough spot. I think so.
I would hope. And Darnold's going to give you chances. That's the difference, right? The whole thing nowadays with quarterbacks is making it real easy on them. Brock Purdy is the one I keep comparing to. Purdy takes care of the football. He won't throw it away. Darnold's going to take chances. He's not very good throwing in between the hashes. He'll give you opportunities to take the football away. You got to do it as the defense.
Yeah. 346 mentions, why is no one talking about it with Case returning too? All right. That is fair. We did not mention Case Keenum. Case Keenum returning to this game, although obviously he's not actively on the roster or what have you. Actually, I wonder, does he travel with the team in that instance, though? I can't imagine.
Probably not.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if that necessarily happens there. But yeah, man, if you can limit penalties, I think that's also an interesting thing. When you come to environment, I always keep coming back to making sure that the offensive line is on their P's and Q's, man. I have seared in my mind that, you know, a defensive line game where you have one player looping around and then finding open space. That's happened a couple of times to this Texans team early in the season. I would hate for that to continue to happen if for no other reason, just like lack of communication or stable communication because of the environment. Because the last thing I want is CJ Stroud under undue pressure outside of, you know, the generated pressure that that defense can have, right? You don't want to make it any easier for them to get to your quarterback and kind of throw things off schedule. Although CJ is very good at getting off schedule and going and find the likes of Nico Collins. But yeah, let's limit that as much as possible. And I definitely don't want to see that in the course of this game.
Yeah, which goes back to my other Texans will lose if, right? I said emotions, which goes with penalties. And the other thing, not only win the turnover battle, but you got to win the battle in the trenches. Flores is going to try to pressure you, light you up. You got to be able to handle it. On the flip side, you have to be able to pressure Sam Darnold. He's been blitzed, as I said, the fourth fewest times in the league. He's been far too comfortable in that pocket. He's still Sam Darnold. He's got the tools. He has the weapons. That's why he was a top five pick coming out of the draft. He's got a good arm. But when you make everything so easy for him, that's when he can be successful. When he's not comfortable, when things aren't all going his way, when he's playing from behind, that's when he's like the New York Jet Sam Darnold. I'm seeing ghosts out there. Right now, Kevin O'Connell's making it real easy for him. Make it difficult. And you do that by getting pressure. So I think the Texans will lose Sunday if they lose that pressure battle. If Darnold plays with clean pockets and Flores is able to disrupt and confuse and throw off CJ Stroud on the other side.
All right. I think the time has come. What are we feeling when it comes to predictions here? Because I think I'm going 24-21 Texans in this contest. Get a win, go 3-0, get out of that building.
It's really, I don't know. I hate to be that guy. I think I might lean Minnesota. I don't know. I got to be a homer and pick the Texans here. It's going to be close. It'll be a one-score game. We always give these clean scores, so I'll say like 22-19. We'll have some random score.
Yeah, I wanted to do that, but I always feel weird because I'm like, which random score do you give?
Yeah,
right? I'm like, all right, I might as well go with a more standard score that's close.
Yeah.
So if it's like, oh, it was a 25-point game, it's like, all right, yeah, it was close. Mm-hmm. Or a 22, right, 22 right. points scored by the offense. All right, it's close, true. Right? But yeah, like I think that I don't think you're wrong, right? There's part of me that goes, I think the Minnesota could win this game, but there's a level of hope, and then also ain't nobody trying to hear me predict the Vikings win this game. And it's still very, very much possible that the Texans win this game. Plus, with Juice Scruggs being there, I feel a little bit more confident that you can have CJ Stroud in his element, doing the things that's necessary to break down a very good Brian Flores defense. Fig, do you want to get one on wax here?
Yeah. I'm going to say Houston Texans 17, Vikings 10.
Ooh, okay. Even more low scoring.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little low scoring. I think these defenses are actually pretty good. And I can see the Houston Texans defense getting to Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I went to 24 just because I feel like the offense, the passing game has to get going in a little bit bigger way. Obviously, that's weird to say when Nico has a couple of 100-yard games, but if it does, if you watch the game, right, if you're not just looking at the box score, it does feel like the offense isn't quite hitting their stride yet. And I think that this week might be a one for them to get a little bit closer to that, even though I don't think that you're going to have one of those blow-away offensive games because of the respect that I have for Brian Flores' defense.
Yeah, the over-under, by the way, is 46, so you're right there, 24-21, right? You're right on that number, just like Vegas sees it, so that's good.
Yeah, Vegas knows things.
Yeah.
I think they know
what they're doing.
832 says Texans will lose. But Brandon on the YouTube says Texans win 27-13. We'll see what it ultimately looks like, because it's not predicted or it's not figured out by what we say here. It's what they do on the field, which will happen Sunday, noon. And you can hear that right here on your home of the Houston Texans, Sports Radio 610. Pregame, 9 a.m. right on these airways with our guys, Sean and Seth. They'll get you ready for that game. Coming up next, it's about time for Figgy's mixtape on a Football Friday. Figgy, what you got?
Yeah, man. So the most annoying player in football, according to a new poll from NFL fans, and it was on display last night. If you was on Twitter or probably just watching the game. And plus, it's Friday. I'm going to give you some tips on how to make your weekend feel a little bit longer.
Okay, let's make the weekend feel a little bit longer next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. And look, we got the most annoying person or player in the NFL, and this poll was, created in the perspective of fans. It was 3,000 fans that are NFL fans that pretty much ranked, I guess, a couple people that was the most annoying players in the NFL, and we saw him last night as he tried to push away his head coach. Because I guess he is not a hugger. And that video in slow motion looks so funny to me.
It's so hilarious. Yeah. If you weren't watching Thursday Night Football, see, I didn't call it Monday Night Football. That's called progress. Yeah. But if you were watching Thursday Night Football last night, after Aaron Rodgers does the thing, throwing a touchdown pass, him and they go up two scores at that point. I think that was when it was 14-3. And he's over to the sideline. Robert Saleh looks like he's going in for a hug. And looked like Aaron Rodgers put his two hands into the chest like, nah. Bro. And he kind of stone-faced him. After the game, he seemed to be explaining that Robert Saleh, not much of a hugger, supposedly, typically. And so he ain't expecting to go in for a hug, and sometimes they do that. I don't know what to necessarily believe, but it looked awkward. Like, seeing it happen in the moment, I was like, wait, what? Especially because, like, he seemed to be going in for the hug, like, the whole time. And then all of a sudden, it's hands-on. I was like, I don't understand what that is. Maybe that's just an unwritten language between them or unknown from us. Between them.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers was named the most annoying player in football, according to a new poll of 3,000 football fans.
Not surprised.
He got 27% of the vote. Who came next? I'm glad you asked. Travis Kelce came in second with 17%, followed by Odell Beckham Jr. I'm shocked a lot of people hate or really find him annoying.
Why do people dislike Odell?
Like, my man ain't even on the field like that.
That's why I'm surprised he's still top three. I could see it a couple years ago. I don't know. I think it's like, what's the word?
Hateration?
Well, certainly part of it, but I think it's just like how all the stuff that came with it, whether it was like with the kicking net
thing,
all those things, I think, like, just so rub people away. Around.
Yeah, so
that's why I'm surprised he's still top three.
Yeah, coming in next is Patrick Mahomes with 8%, and then followed by Dak Prescott at 5%.
Yeah, I mean, I could see reasons for a lot of those, and I guess if you still harbor that with the Giants thing with, and then also I guess there's people that didn't like the way that it went down with him in Cleveland, rather, with the Browns, you know, that way that ended. Dak, it just feels like people are sick of hearing.
But it's funny you said that, because it seemed like after the Cleveland thing or during the Cleveland thing, they kind of felt sorry for him. Like, he was stuck in jail or something, and once he got released, then ended up going to the Rams and winning the Super Bowl. I felt like a lot of people ended up feeling happy for him, because it's like, ooh, you got out of that situation in Cleveland to win a Super Bowl now. So I'm shocked a lot of people still kind of feel some type of way about Odell Beckham.
I thought that's when he turned a corner in L.A., because he was, like, a little more humble, I guess. He accepted that he wasn't going to be the star. He's just part of the role. Played really well. Didn't cause any sort of obnoxious outbursts or problems. They won a Super Bowl.
Now, after that, he did go on the little tour of will he sign somewhere. Yeah, I do wonder if that then brought people back to the place where they were like, nah, I don't like him no more.
And I even thought about maybe the quick little date with Kim Kardashian. And I know they both was past their prime during that time, but I wonder if that kind of added to it as well.
That's true.
I do love how, like, it seemingly one of the universal things that'll get you on this list is we just see you too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they were like, Travis Kelce, sick of seeing you. Patrick Mahomes, sick of seeing you. Dak Prescott, really sick of hearing and seeing you.
Yeah.
Everything in life is best in moderation. And we're too much Kelce's right now. Jason Kelce on Monday Night Football, ugh, what a tune out.
Yeah. Really? I've kind of appreciated getting offensive lineman perspective. We don't get that nearly as much.
Yeah, but just everything about it. The whole he's on Monday Night Countdown. He's in like the Italian sweatsuit dancing.
Yeah, they're
around.
Definitely playing it up.
Yeah. Then he's in the broadcast booth for two quarters.
Yeah, like, walking
come
bit.
On.
Yeah, they gonna work his butt off.
Yeah.
But speaking of annoying NFL players, we actually have a list of the most annoying visiting fans. So this was also another poll to add on to the poll. So number one, I think we all could probably guess this one, right? Can we say it on three?
Most annoying visiting fans. Who am I missing?
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Dallas Cowboys. I felt like that was kind of obvious.
Yeah,
though,
that would have been my guess. Yeah.
I should have thought about it because they're everywhere, too.
They probably got the biggest fan base, to be honest, and they all over the place.
Yep.
But they come in at number one. Number two, Philly, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, number three, and it's funny because all of these fan bases are obnoxious to me. So the Las Vegas Raiders, they come in number three. Number four is Green Bay. I feel like they're not really as
obnoxious.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. I think that some of this is again a lot of now. If you talk about obnoxious, I feel like Raiders fans is also because
they're a little scary too.
Exactly,
man.
There will be a fight. A fight will happen if there's enough Raiders fans around. I feel like that's a rule that's somewhere written in the bylaws of the NFL.
Yeah, and number five, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
A lot of them.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of Green Bay fans a little bit. They're a little more, they talk a little more smack. But I'm surprised the 49ers are not top five, man, because them fans are kind. I put them up there with Raiders fans.
Do they travel though?
I know. I don't really think of them, I guess, as one of the more popular fan bases like that on the road.
Because, I mean, there's definitely ones that has a little bit of history, so there's a pretty strong, sizable fan base, I guess, in some ways. But it just doesn't feel like they travel and take over places like some of these other teams do.
Yeah, they don't have that reputation. Which I guess is the same thing for the Patriots. I think Patriots fans are terrible, but same idea. Like, I don't know how much they infiltrate road cities and stadiums, especially nowadays.
I was amazed at how regional the Patriots remained even while they became very good. It still remained like if you're in that area, you're probably a fan. If you're not, not necessarily.
It's true.
Yeah, and as crazy as their run was, I know a lot of people tried to put them up there as the new America's team. They wasn't traveling around like Cowboy fans. Like, they might have been the better team throughout this whole decade, but they just wasn't like they weren't like Cowboy fans where they were just all over the place and they weren't really moving the needle like the Cowboys was.
But yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, fair.
Before I get to some tips to make your weekend longer, I got to give some props to my man Devin White. So Devin White, he was a healthy scratch last weekend. And the media actually asked him about that, and I think he gave a pretty cool and respectable answer.
I don't know. I think I've been through a lot of my life, good and bad, you know, open, public, private, and it just make you grow up, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything not going to always be in your favor, you know, but it's about how you respond, you know, how you handle yourself. But that's the only thing I can control, you know. I can't put myself in the game, but I can control my attitude, my effort at practice, and, you know, just my swagger in the building still, you know, coming here every day like a pro and handling my business, rather, you know. I feel like I got a son, he can cry when he don't get his way, you know, that's for him to do, not me, you know. I got to set that down.
I kind of respect that, man. And look, I have no idea why he was a healthy scratch, but he kind of came in there as a professional. We've seen a lot of people that don't really get the targets they should be getting, and they kind of, I don't want to say cry, but they kind of make a big fuss out of it. But I felt like this was a really respectable answer from Devin White.
Yeah, it was great. Very professional. I mean, sorry, Bryce Young. You're no longer the top quarterback in Carolina and not the best audio we played today either anymore.
Yeah,
demoted there, too. That was a great answer from him. I appreciate that. I like the self-awareness, not these guys that are pointing the finger at others. That old expression, like one finger's pointing out, three are pointing back at you. I like that he owned it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, and that sounded like somebody. He mentioned that he's, you know, a father. Like, there's a level of perspective that comes in there. And I always just hope to have that level of perspective whenever I'm in a situation like that, right? Like, that's really the big thing is, do you have that perspective? Because ultimately, I think that perspective is what helps you get out of it. I just, it's kind of wild how quickly football happens to you, or sports in general happen to you. Because it was not too long ago where it felt like Devin White was one of the really, really good linebackers in this league.
I felt like it was last year.
Right? It feels like, well, last year, didn't he get his job took, right? Like, at a linebacker's position. I thought that that was also one of those things, right? And then now you look at a team, admittedly, with the Eagles, that they have been struggling when it comes to linebackers, and he's in there down on the depth chart. Like, life comes at you fast in the NFL and in sports, and he is 26 years of age. I was like, how old is he again? Not that old to already be in a place where it feels like he's on the precipice of this, or on the perimeter, rather, of what's happening here.
Yeah, salute to him, man, because a lot of the times we see people say, I don't know, ask the coach.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
And especially with that coach there, right? Like, yeah. Hey, talk to Sirianni about that. I don't know.
Yeah, so salute to him, man. So I ran across this list about, the weekend is here, is Friday.
Yes, sir.
And I think the one thing I've been going through lately is really short weekends, man. Sometimes it just feel like everything, like the whole weekend just ran by in the snap of a finger.
Right.
But I ran across this list on how to make your weekend a little bit longer. I want to see if y'all kind of agree with this, or y'all think this is kind of baloney.
Okay. I'm interested if what was texted in will be on there. 979, it said, I know how to make the weekend longer. Just take a day off like Lopez. So is taking a day off on there?
It's actually not on there.
All right.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, maybe.
So the first one I ran across was, do your weekend chores during the work week. It make it a little easier to accomplish if you're working from home. But that way your weekend is for you and not the endless, you know, chores you got to do. You think that's kind of fair?
I guess so, but it's kind of like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Like, you're still doing it. You're just doing it at a different time.
Yeah, but at least the weekend feels more full because it's full of things that you actually want to do instead of things that you absolutely need to.
Yeah, I get, but then, like, your Tuesday's full. Like, you just got off of work. You want to go relax on a Tuesday, not go trim the hedges or whatever it is you got on your list.
I guess for me, that's already kind of the way I try and kick it, especially because some of those chores just get easier during the week. And of course, I have the great privilege of having a job where, you know, I can go to the store at 3 p.m. Yeah. on a Tuesday when it's not a lot of people at the store and avoid traffic and do that. Whereas if you go to the store at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, it's a different experience. You know what I mean? So, like, it definitely shifts it up a little bit. But if you have that available to you, I do think it helps a little bit. I agree with that one.
Yeah. What about this one? This one, a lot of people might be a little upset with this one, but wake up early every day. You'll get more out of your days and don't mess up your sleep schedule for the rest of the work week. How you feel about waking up early on the weekend?
Makes sense, but I'm not a morning. I'd rather just stay up late, get more time out of the day at the end of the day.
Yes. Agree. I'm becoming more of a morning person, and I don't like it about myself. I'm going to be completely honest. I enjoy being able to just wake up whenever and then, you know, take it late into the night when I need to. But
exactly.
All right. What about this one? Make plans for Friday night. You'll get in something fun to kick off the weekend. So Saturday rolls around, you still feel like you had two weekend days left. Just don't get too wild and stay out late Friday night. Otherwise, Saturday will be a throwaway day.
That's true. Yeah, you got to walk that fine line. No, I love that one because a lot of times people use Friday night almost as like a recovery. If they work, you know, 9 to 5 or a tough job, and you just want to go home and unwind.
Yeah.
Get something out of that Friday night. Get something out of start the weekend on Thursday. Do something Thursday night and really kick off.
They should make a weekend start that Thursday, though.
Yeah.
Thursday should be like an official. The new Friday.
I like what you're doing. We're officially creating the In the Loop lobby for a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
I like that. 4-day work week.
And I honestly feel like that because especially work day, especially around here, the office is totally closed on Fridays.
Like, why am I here?
Exactly. And the last one is split your weekends between doing stuff and doing nothing. Meaning you spend Friday and Saturday doing things like hanging out with friends, errands, and chores, and then Sunday do nothing as a way to reset.
Okay.
Hey, to me, watching the NFL from 12 to 12, that's doing something. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, it is, especially when you have the Texans. I think that also makes it a little different for those of us that are like big time sports fans. Is that, hey man, it's easy for my weekend to go quick if for no other reason than Saturday at 11, stuff's on to watch. Mm-hmm. Sunday at 12, stuff's on to watch. And that weekend can go real quick if you're not careful. So I appreciate the working around the edges, but to maybe help make it feel better, I might apply to a few of these. I think that might help.
Go ahead.
No, you good.
You got something to say?
You good.
I get us out of here on this. Okay. So Red Lobster is no longer in bankruptcy.
Hey, we're back.
So 35-year-old Damola Adamokun. I don't want to stereotype, but I'm guessing
he's Nigerian.
Nigerian, yeah. There we go.
Damola Adamokun. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so he's the new CEO and promises for better service, better food, interior, but no more $20 unlimited shrimp on the standard menu. He said, we's making the comeback.
Excellent.
Are y'all a Red Lobster type of fellas?
Not frequently, but I like the idea that it's there if I need to. You know what I mean? If I need to go get some Cheddar Bay biscuits, I like that it's over there.
Yeah, late lunchtime confession. I've never been to a Red Lobster.
Not once?
Never.
Oh, wow.
That's not surprising because, honestly, like, I used to always go to Red Lobster when I lived up in Cleveland, but we ain't really had that many seafood options.
Yeah.
So I used to always go there. Once I moved down here, I've been to Red Lobster once.
Yeah, Red Lobster doesn't mean a lot in Houston, when one of the great food towns in the world, to be fair. However, I remember when I was younger, like, I think I might have been, like, when I turned 15 or something. It's like, I wanted to go to Red Lobster. Like, I want to have the opportunity to have something that's a little nicer, if that tells you a little bit about where I was. Like, hey, we get to go to Red Lobster. So I want to have that for
that was like people. A date option, too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Take her to Red Lobster.
That's right.
But, yeah, salute the Red Lobster, man. Hopefully, I guess they can make a comeback.
As long as the Cheddar Bay biscuits are available. That's all I ask for. All right, that's Figgy's Mixtape. Every weekday, at 120 here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, continuing the Football Friday here, which is supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're getting ready to hand it over to our fellas in the drive who are out at Aranda Sports Bar at 920 North Shepherd. But before we give it to them, let's draft the weekend, as I like to call it. Me and Luke will go back and forth. Actually, if you want to jump in here, Fig, we could do that too. Okay. We're going to pick the various games of the weekend, NFL football or otherwise, that we're interested in and see what we come up with. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, much appreciation for you hanging out with us in the loop on this Football Friday, sponsored by Academy Sports and Outdoors. We got Luke Morrow, who's been hanging out with me all day in John Lopez's stead. Luke, it has been a blast thus far. Thank you for doing that, man.
Hey, my pleasure to be here. I appreciate you guys having me.
Of course, Figgy Fig always holding it down for you. We got one more segment to go before we hand it off to our guys. The Drive, that's Clint and Ron. They are out at Aranda Sports Bar, 920 North Shepherd in the Heights. I will be joining them. And I can say that sincerely. I'll be joining them maybe right after the show. I might just go ahead and go straight over there to hang out with the fellas. Because Ron gave me a nasty look when I said that I've been lying about going out there. Oh, boy. He was so disappointed. So we got to make sure we remedy that. Plus, you want to hang out there. I mean, I guess you could come out and see me. That's one thing. But you want to see the fellas and see what they're giving away on the day. We'll talk to them here shortly. Also, want to give you an update real quick before we draft the weekend on the injury report. Justin Jefferson, who was dealing with a quad, I said hamstring quad, I mean similar but not exactly the same, he's off the injury report, so he is good to go on Sunday. However, on the injury report, Dallas Turner, one of their edge pieces when it comes to adding pressure, he's out, as is Jordan Addison, who's really the only other wide receiving threat when it comes to those Minnesota Vikings. Does that change the way that you feel that this defense should play Sam Darnold and the Vikings?
Yeah, we were talking about it during the commercial break. Yeah, I mean, I guess Jefferson's the one guy, so it's easier said than done in, like, basketball, but, you know, it's like, let the rest of them try to beat you. So if Stingley could try to lock up Jefferson one-on-one and just slow him down a little bit, you're not going to shut him down completely, but keep him from having a monstrous game and then hope the other guys like Brandon Powell and Jalen Naylor can beat you and these other players that most fans have never heard of without Jordan Addison.
All right. So let's do this. Do we want to, or let's draft the weekend. All right.
Sure.
So with that being the case, let's bounce around. I will give Luke. You'll get the first pick, but we'll draft from NFL, college games, whatever, and see whichever games we are most interested in. Fit, you want in?
I'll take it in. Come
all
on.
Right, all right, you can have a second pick. I'll go ahead and pick third. Luke.
Well, we know the game of the day Sunday in the NFL. I don't know if we're including that. I'm not going to pick it because we know.
I think we know Texans-Vikings is going to be of the greatest amount of intrigue. I think, especially
for
here
sure.
locally,
yeah,
absolutely,
and probably nationally too. Yeah, for college football, for my pick, I'll take. I think the game of the day in college football: Tennessee-Oklahoma, two top
great
15
pick.
Teams. Tennessee's an offensive team. Oklahoma's a defensive team, and then you have the whole Josh Heupel revenge factor too, if you will, at Oklahoma. That's the game I'm looking forward to most tomorrow in college football.
That's a good one to take off the board. I'm really excited about watching that one myself. Fig.
I'm a stick in the Big Ten right now. It feels funny calling this the Big Ten, but USC and Michigan. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see that. I know Michigan ain't really nothing this year, but I just kind of want to see a car crash. I want to see how bad Michigan get beat right here. But little USC and Michigan, man, it's cool to watch, man.
Yeah, that should be fun. Absolutely. See USC seeming like they're actually adding a defense to that. Good job, Lincoln Riley, actually determining that the defense matters. You guys are leaving me some more NFL games, so I'll jump into the NFL with my first pick. Give me Eagles Saints. Yeah. I want to see this Saints offense. I want to see if they're really still going on this high level, right? The Saints have the offense to potentially hurt the Eagles. I think the Eagles have the run game to potentially hurt the Saints. I want to see with this litmus test game for both sides who ends up coming out on top and if it is really as bad as it might possibly seem in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick. So I'll go elsewhere in the NFL. I'll take the other 2-0 versus 2-0 matchup, which is not nearly as good on paper, but it's the Chargers and the Steelers in Pittsburgh. They're both 2-0. Mostly because I think it's going to be a boring game, but they're both 2-0. I want to see how real both of these teams are. Good litmus test for them. But I also want to see what football was like years before I was born, because the Steelers average 121 passing yards and the Chargers average 135 passing yards. It's going to be a quick, boring game, but they're both 2-0, so why not? I'll pick it.
Yeah, it's a good. I like the way that you're going. Like, also, what's the watchability of this? Although watchability is kind of the wrong word, but like, how quickly can we get done with this?
Yeah.
Both of these teams are trying to get the game script, right? If we can get up, like you were talking about earlier, if you can get up on them, you just run the mm-hmm. football, get yourself out of there. Absolutely.
I want to see, I'm going to keep my eye on the Baltimore Ravens and Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like both of these teams have a lot to prove this week because, you know, the Cowboys, they had the big week one win against the Browns, and then they had an awful loss in week two. And when you look on the Ravens, they're 0-2.
Yeah, man.
They're 0-2. They need to get a win right here. So I want to see. I feel like this game will really show who the Cowboys really are, what type of season they're really going to have. And the Ravens is kind of like a bleeper get off the pot right
100%.
Here. They got to get a W right here, man. A
lot of anxiety tied up in this one, man. Mm-hmm. This one's going to be one of those that you watch almost with a morbid curiosity. So, yeah, I think that's a great pick there, Fig. I was looking at that one. I'm going to go back to the college game here. Let me get number 12 Utah versus number 14 Oklahoma State. I definitely, Utah is one of those teams that just finds a way to make it messy in order to get their wins. But Cam Rising, for the, what is it, second, third year in a row, just seemingly having a whole bunch of injury issues as the quarterback at Utah against Oklahoma State that last year had what felt like the best running back in the nation, Ollie Gordon, and all of a sudden he's gone. Like, what do they have? What can they put together in a pretty solid Big 12 thus far? Like, I kind of want to see what this matchup looks like. So I'm going Utah, Oklahoma State.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to take mine. This one I'm just picking for the story. It is Texas against Louisiana Monroe.
You want the starting quarterback.
Just to see Arch Manning.
That's a good call.
They're favored by 45. They're going to kill him. Although Monroe did beat Nick Saban's Alabama 17 years ago. But
they're still the same people involved at ULM, right?
That's right. just to see Arch Manning. I'm going that one.
I'm going a little Monday Night Football, man. I want to see the Jags and the Bills game. I kind of want to see a car accident at this point with the Jags because I don't think they're going to beat the Bills. The Bills are better than I thought they were going to be, but this Jags team, man, they could potentially be 0-3. And not to throw another game in here, the Colts, they could potentially be 0-3, man. Like, I don't know how the Bears gonna look, but I'm gonna be glued to this Jazz game. I'm glued to the division overall, man, just to see everybody else, because the Texans are doing good and the division not so good. So if the Texans come out with a win against the Vikings, hey, I'm good, man. I want to see everybody else look bad.
Do a little hate watching.
Yeah.
All right, let me grab up right quick. Lions Cardinals. I want to see this game. The Cardinals seeming to figure some things out. Is Kyler Murray in that place? Also, just watching this Lions team continue to, you know, find themselves and see if they're really going to be that contender at the high level. I think this is going to be a really fun matchup. So I'll go with that one to finish myself out here. How are we feeling about these games? Was there anyone else? I thought for a second about tonight's baseball game, Astros Angels, because of the Verlander effect. We're getting closer to the end of the season. Is he going to find a little bit of his stuff, of his command, of his mechanics? But again, it's feeling like we're slipping well beyond the point where that's going to matter in a big way for the Astros in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm with you. If we went another round, I probably would have said tonight. But like I said earlier, I think the decision should already be made on Verlander, regardless of what he does. Maybe Sunday, the Astros could theoretically potentially clinch on Sunday if they win, if they sweep the Angels and the Mariners lose the next two. So
that's a good honorable mention.
So we'll see. Yeah, maybe.
From the 713, every one of y'all should have said Texans Vikings. We took that off the board because
that's the obvious one. That's the obvious one.
Of course.
And of course, that's the one that we're all absolutely going to be watching. It's the one that you can hear right here on your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. Starting at 9 a.m., we're going to have pregame with Sean and Seth getting you set for that game. We mentioned Justin Jefferson is going to play. Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson both practiced today. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce did not practice today. So, yeah, that opposes a lot of interesting things that our fellas out at Aranda Sports Bar for their Football Friday are going to get into more during the program. Let's welcome in our guys, Clint and Ron. Ron, how disappointed are you in me right now?
How disappointed in what?
How disappointed are you in me right now? Because it felt
You can make it up, man. Here's the thing is, not to steal a Clintism. Here's the deal. Don't just keep saying, yeah, I'm going to get up there and come out there. I'm going to come out there and hang out there on Football Friday. Don't just keep saying it. At some point when you're 2 weeks down and you said it 2 or 3 weeks down, at some point you just don't say it. And then you go ahead and just you just show up.
All right.
Like you stop saying it. Like you're saying it in the same face and voice that you said at the previous 2 weeks. Clearly, we're not being truthful. I mean, we had it set up in certain spots, man. I'm telling you, I was trying to set you up. I was trying to set you up at the golf spot.
Yeah.
And you didn't take that. And I'm telling you, there was a landing there for you, and you didn't take it. So, I'm not quite disappointed yet, but you've said it now 2 or 3 times. I was at the station today, and I looked you right in your eyes.
You sure did.
And I'm going to be up here. Now, you've done that before, so we'll see. And it's close this time. Ain't no excuses. Your ass ought to show up here. I'm just saying. Figgy going to be here. Catch a ride.
Yeah, I'll be there. Don't worry about it. I will. Right. For real. I don't have anywhere else to be. I had some other
questions. Hey, Reg, let me look, it don't get no more Houston than this right here.
I just got my hair cut too, Reg. And like you get, and come on, man. Don't.
He got the blonde edged up, y'all. I just recognized that. Oh, that shaped it up nice. He's thinking about leaving them tips out there. But, Reg, this is about as Houston as it gets. You know, I've been eating pretty good of late, a couple months. It's going to be a challenge today. This is the kind of joint where I could just completely let every bit of my discipline go out the window for 4 hours and drink and eat everything in the place.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm making my way out there right after the show. I promise this time.
Come on through.
And you know what? You don't have to believe my promises. You'll believe it when you see me out there. I promise I'll get out there.